Born in Chicago in 1909, Goodman displayed an early gift for music and an early enthusiasm for jazz. By his early teens, Benjamin David Goodman was earning more money than his impoverished Jewish father. At age 13, he was a professional union musician, splitting his time between working legitimate dance bands and playing jazz with his Chicago hot music buddies, who included Bix Beiderbecke and pianist Art Hodes. But until the early 30s, Benny Goodman was just one of many hot clarinet soloists working in Chicago and New York, though certainly one of the most skilled and talented. He bounced around from dance band to band, picking up various gigs and recording sessions wherever he could, making records with Jack Teagarden, Hoagie Carmichael, the orchestra of drummer Ben Pollock, for whom he worked for several years, and he did quite a few sessions with trumpeter Red Nichols. Mostly, Benny Goodman followed his whims until around 1934, when he got serious about starting a band and making it successful. Because in 1934 came the opportunity to form a band for the Let's Dance broadcasts on network radio. The series was to include dance bands of three different styles, sweet, Latin, and hot, and the sweet and Latin bands had already been hired. Goodman got the hot music portion of the program and dished it out good and hot on the live, coast-to-coast, Saturday night broadcasts on more than 50 radio stations. His swing orchestra's first national exposure, and they were, as Benny himself said, the biggest thing that ever happened to me. Now, the story has been told often and frequently repeated how Benny and his orchestra set out on a 1935 tour across the country that went from misadventure to near disaster to triumph. The tour started poorly. They were working their way west, playing venues in Ohio, Michigan, Salt Lake City, and Denver. In short, places where waltzes were more popular than swing. West of the Rockies, though, their luck changed. Unknown to Goodman and his musicians, their hot music broadcasts had become tremendously popular with youthful dancers and young listeners. On the West Coast, things began to pick up. First in San Francisco and Oakland, California, where they were enthusiastically received by huge crowds. In Los Angeles, the legendary breakout happened at the tour's main destination, the new and prestigious Palomar Ballroom. At first, Benny and the band were still demoralized. As yet, they had no clue of their passionate following among the Jitterbugs and Lindy Hoppers on the coast. Goodman himself described how at first they opened the Palomar on the safe side with tepid, sweet tea dance fare. But at some point, despairing they were near the end as a band, Benny and the boys said, "What the hell?" and decided to kick out all the stops, cutting loose with the hot music they loved. The kids went crazy and began dancing in the aisles. You see, it turned out that in California, the Goodman Orchestra was a star attraction of the Let's Dance broadcast. Due to the time difference, Benny's late night slot was heard in primetime on the West Coast. There, his band had become wildly popular with teenagers who craved swing music for dancing at Saturday night parlor room dance parties. Originally scheduled for only a month, Goodman's huge success at the Palomar Ballroom was extended another month. Word got out, bookings started flooding in, records sold like hotcakes, and soon the influential magazine Downbeat was running stories on Benny Goodman in every issue, including front page feature articles. Now, it should be said that at the time, there were other white bands playing hot music for dancing, probably most notably the Casalome Orchestra. But Goodman's style matched youthful tastes more exactly than any of his competitors. And at age 26, Goodman himself was only a little older than his college-age fans. Additionally, he was one of the few band leaders who featured female singers. Initially, the jazz-influenced and very attractive Helen Ward, whose warm, direct style was very popular with college-age males.
There's a small hotel with the wishing well. I wish that we were there.
it's hard to visualize today the frenzy of youthful energy tapped by Goodman's style of swing. It was a social movement equivalent to early rock and roll, Elvis, the Beatles, or psychedelic rock music. By 1937, Goodman, his swing orchestra, and small bands were the biggest thing in the music business. They were playing prestigious venues to unprecedented ticket sales. Benny was dubbed the King of Swing, and the band was soon featured in several Hollywood films. And in 1939, his autobiography, The Kingdom of Swing, was published 1 month before his 30th birthday. Goodman's music was more than just very good dance music. It was jazz, swing jazz. His orchestra was playing not just written charts, though they had some of the best, but swinging jazz music with plenty of room for improvising, set to exciting dance rhythms. During the swing era, other band leaders came and went. Other bands rose to popularity and had number one hits, and were hailed as the greatest thing since sliced bread. But for the duration of the swing era and beyond, Benny was golden, selling in excess of 100 million records. While he didn't alone invent swing music, Goodman was, and remained, its most popular and best-selling King of Swing. From one of their more notable and prestigious landmarks, the unprecedented 1938 Carnegie Hall concert, here's Benny Goodman and his orchestra, Swing Time in the Rockies.